Brilliance Audio presents The Rose Girls by Victoria Connolly, performed by Fiona Hardingham. Some people mark the beginning of summer by the call of the first cuckoo or the arrival of the first swallow, but for Celeste Hamilton, summer began with the opening of the first rose. It wasn't surprising, really, because she had grown up in a family of rosarians and had been growing roses all her life. Her first word had been rose, and the family joke was that they all had roses in the blood. But when Celeste had left home and married Liam O'Grady, she'd swapped roses for a reclamation yard and had thrown herself into her husband's business with the joy of somebody who had been given a reprieve. Roses were her past, she'd thought. Only the past had a funny way of catching up with you, didn't it? And now I'm coming home, she thought to herself, as the old Morris Minor van wended its way through the overgrown lanes of the Stour Valley. She wouldn't have ever believed she'd return home, but with the death of her mother and the small matter of her marriage being over, Celeste really had no choice. She sighed as she thought of the weeks that lay ahead of her, and only hoped that she could sort everything out before those weeks turned into months, because she certainly wasn't going to stay any longer. That wasn't part of her plan at all. In and out, she told herself as she thought about her childhood home, her mind crowded with memories she'd sooner forget. In and out. There was no need to get emotional about things. This was business, pure and simple. She wound her window down and the rich notes of a blackbird filled the car. The hedgerows were full of white campion and stripy-petaled mallow, and she spied a forest of foxgloves in the shade of a wood. Entering the village of Ely Tye, she saw the familiar cottage gardens stuffed with sweet peas, honeysuckle, and lupins. But despite the scent and the show they put on, Celeste knew that these flowers were only an overture to the brilliant symphony of summer, and she soon saw what she was looking for. Slowing the car at a corner, Celeste smiled as Mrs. Keating's garden came into view, and she spied the brilliant yellow of the rose Maygold, which climbed up the front of the thatched cottage like 100 little sunshines, almost completely obscuring one of the tiny downstairs windows. For Celeste, Mrs. Keating's Maygold heralded the beginning of the rose season, and she looked out for it every year. Her mother, Penelope Hamilton, had told her three daughters that the rose was the queen of summer. Indeed, one of her most famous roses had been given that very name and had provided them with a very good living for many years. But the business hadn't been doing so well lately. Her mother's poor health over the last few months had meant a slide in sales, and the old manor house, which had been the family home for three generations, was rapidly falling apart. Sales had also been hit over the last few years by the recession, with people cutting down on the little luxuries in life. It had also been increasingly difficult to compete with the number of new garden centres popping up all over the place, selling roses that weren't nearly as beautiful or rich in fragrance and colour as the Hamilton's roses, but which were much more affordable. Celeste took a deep breath as she thought of the challenges that lay ahead. Was it really wise to go back? She'd thought she'd left little Ely behind her forever. But what kind of big sister would she be to Gertie and Evie if she didn't help them now? What are we going to do? She said, addressing the question to her rearview mirror and the reflection of the little wire fox terrier on the back seat. He'd been awake and alert for the whole journey. She'd left her rented house on the North Norfolk coast a little after midday and had managed to squeeze the boxes of books and bags of clothes that made up the sum total of her possessions into the tiny car, leaving just enough room for the dog on the back seat. There'd been a big squashy armchair which she'd bought with Liam, but she wouldn't have been able to fit it into the Morris, even if she'd wanted it. So she'd left it behind. It seemed crazy to have to pack all her things and bring them back to her family home when she was planning on moving them out again in a few short weeks. But she hadn't been able to justify paying rent on a place when she wasn't using it, and if Gertie was to be believed, They needed every penny each of them could scrape together if they were to sort the mess out at the manor.